cliffcentral.com.
Halala, 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 Limpopo, halala, halala, Gauteng, halala, halala, KwaZulu-Natal, halala, halala, Western Cape, halala.
Halala to you, and especially to you. Yes, broadcasting from the first floor of cliffcentral.com in Rivonia, Johannesburg. The place where you won't get any censored lies and bullshit decisions from a bunch of people who want you to know only what they want you to know. Oh, yes. I mean, we can't even agree in the studio what you should know. So you're onto a good thing if you've stumbled upon us for the first time this morning. Right, baby. This is where it all happens. And might I say that you're looking very sexy this morning?
Yeah.
Yes. I have a camera in your mirror. I'm watching you now.
Thank goodness that that is not creepy at all.
Ah, yes. It's Pooza. Say it for us, Bram Matthews.
It's Pooza. Thursday.
Thursday. All right, what's happening, everybody? Good morning, Mabale Moloi.
Good morning, Gareth Cliff.
Good morning, Ben Karpinski.
Hi, Gareth.
Good morning, Pashida Matebula.
Good morning, Gareth Cliff.
Good morning, Michael. What's your middle name again?
Stephen Flax.
Michael Stephen Flax.
Good morning, Mr. Cliff.
I hate being called Mr. Cliff. I hate it. That's my dad's name.
Oh, my gosh. It's like being called Ma'am.
Ma'am is bad, right?
Ma'am is bad, ma'am. If you are still fighting to retain your youth.
Right.
And then some kid decides, nah, lady, you're old.
So, Michael, are you back on solids yet?
Yes.
Yeah, how's your asshole and your stomach? Come, let's get straight to it.
So yesterday...
Was it in tatters?
Yesterday, straight as we started the 8 hour, I had to leave because I had bad cramps.
Well, let me explain to everybody. You know, we're here. We're all here until 9 o'clock. And Flax, he did a runner. He said to Pashida, please, you've got to handle everything. She came in and very ably and capably handled everything. But Michael ran out farting all the way down the stairs, trying to save what little dignity he still had as the anal leakage started to happen. The poor man. It was so embarrassing. He made it to his car just in time, sat on a towel, and drove home at great speed.
I won't lie, I did clench the whole way home.
Yeah.
And it was one of those points where, like, why are you driving so slow? Like, it was like I needed the bathroom. Mm. I must have eaten something on Tuesday night.
Have you zeroed in? Have you zeroed in on what it was?
No, have not zeroed in on what it was. But it was rough. It was really rough. It wasn't just like diarrhea. It was when you actually have cramps that you can't explain why the cramps are there.
It was like your butthole was having an exorcism.
Yeah.
Ben.
Oh yeah.
The juicer cat called it the squirty bug.
Ouch! Ouch! Spawn of Satan!
So, was it diarrhea, Flex? Was it definitely diarrhea?
You see, what is diarrhea? Like, isn't diarrhea an ongoing thing?
Well, I mean, if your excrement comes out in liquid form, that's...
It came out in all forms, to be honest.
Oh, ew!
I can't.
Too much information!
I changed my mind.
Wrong with you! You niggas are crazy!
This is where I wish my buddy was pregnant or something so we can change the topic.
I don't want to even get my sewerage bill for yesterday.
Oh my gosh, the bills!
Can't you give a sick note for that one?
Suddenly sanitation is really, really worth the money, huh?
You get charged every time you flush.
You must be in big trouble.
Shame. Shame.
But are you fine today?
Shame.
Yeah, I'm tip-top shape today. I had a bowl of rice last night just to, like, you know, absorb everything that's in there, like a wet phone, and I'm good to go.
That's fantastic. Hey, everybody's talking about...
I did not find Rina.
Lady, the witness is emotional, maybe take a adjournment.
Yeah, guess who's off to jail for 6 years, in case you missed it. I mean, you must have been under a rock if you missed that, but... Sure. Oscar Pistorius, 6 years in jail. Everybody's saying, it's either too much or too little. Everybody. I know that the too little camp is a much bigger camp than the too much camp.
Yeah.
But I had an argument with Ben in the office yesterday. Ben is very much in the that is not enough years for Oscar camp. I'm not in the too little. But I don't ever question a judge in their sentencing because I'm not the legal professional.
Yeah, but this is Judge Masipa, though. She's dropped the ball heavily in round one.
Look.
So you can have all your objective respect and all that kind of stuff you want, Gareth. But, I mean, as someone suggests, as Jonathan Witt said, she's the Claudia Motsoneng of judges.
Oh, dear.
No, I don't think that's fair at all.
I didn't say it was fair. I just said that's what you said.
No, you know what? Judges sometimes make mistakes, and sometimes a superior court is called upon to rectify those mistakes, and that's precisely what happened here.
And then what happened after that?
If the Supreme Court of Appeal thought... And if our judicial system was structured so that a judge who was completely infallible could not be overturned, you'd have some injustices occurring. So what happens is that the judge makes a mistake, it goes to the Supreme Court of Appeal, then the Supreme Court of Appeal sends it back to her and say, look, we've corrected your verdict. Now, would you do sentencing for us, please? And that's a totally different matter. So that's what she did. And by the way, can I just point out, having been in that Jose Mampuru prison once, when we did a broadcast from there one morning, when I was still at 702, we did it from the central atrium. First of all, it was very, very tricky having any women in there at all, because the men behave like chimpanzees in there. It's just, if there weren't bars between them and these women, it would have been carnage. The food is so stinky. It's porridge of a kind, but it smells like ass.
Ew.
It's really, really bad. It is cold. It is unwholesome. It is unwelcoming. It is unpleasant in the extreme, as a prison should be. If it were a 5-star hotel, everyone would be committing crime to get in there for free board and lodging. But it isn't the kind of place, believe me, that you want to spend 5 minutes in, let alone 6 years, let alone 15 years. And I'm not saying that I'm on the side of Oscar Pistorius. I've never been a Pistorian. I think I made that clear from day one. You have to make these disclaimers because people are stupid and they don't go back and check their facts. And then they say, Gareth's sympathizing with this guy. Let me tell you something. Whatever he suffers in jail in terms of a lack of freedom of movement, an unpleasant eating experience, an unpleasant sleeping experience, cold, hot, being treated like filth, whatever happens in there is nothing as compared to what he's been through psychologically over the last 3 years. That's not to say he doesn't deserve it, right?
Yeah, but these are all fair points.
Last 3 years, imagine, even if he intended to kill her at that moment, the regret sets in almost instantly, and it must be paralyzing, which is why he turned into this pathetic, weeping mess from there until now. And if he's putting on an act, and he is a proper psychopath, and that is the biggest lesson we take out of this, then even more of that psychopathy will have been brought on by the situation that he's in now. And the situation he's found himself in the last 3 years. From hero to pariah, let me tell you, that is some fall. And it must sting and burn and engulf you in the greatest wave of self-pity imaginable to man. I did not take a single second to sympathize with him, and I'm not doing so now. But if he hasn't suffered enough in the last 3 years, believe me, this 6 years is going to be a breeze compared to what he's already been through for these last 3 years. Everyone in the world having an opinion. Everyone in the world despising everything he's done. It's just unimaginably cruel. And that would be the case for any human being, any murderer, any person who's ever had to deal with the kind of justice being dealt to them, deserve it or not. I would not wish this on my worst enemies, and I don't even think to my mind I can have a singular thought about an enemy who would deserve it. It's just appalling. We will talk to someone who knows more about this than me in a short while. We'll speak to Dr. D. She's been following this from day one. You know, she has analyzed every aspect of his behavior, of the behavior of all the rest of us over this trial. And I think it would be fascinating to hear from her, don't you think?
Sure. It's always good to get a different perspective. But, you know, Gareth, the one thing I do worry about is that when you look at it on face value, murder equals 6 years. You know, that is just the big worry for me, because then you look at other people who think they can do the same. But that's what money and what people are saying white privilege gets you in this country.
Well, the money, definitely, because if you can afford a good defense team, that's exactly what you're going to get, is a good defense team.
Yeah.
So money, 100%. If you have it, you are better off.
And Mubs, inevitably, because we're in South Africa, being white carries with it a bunch of either advantages or one or two minor disadvantages. So I don't disagree with Ben on that front either.
Yeah, absolutely. But what I heard, which I found interesting yesterday, I was listening in on a conversation with somebody who works in the NPA, and she was saying that maybe
where do you hang around?
No, I mean...
where do you go after this?
Sorry, you know, it's my double life.
I'm sitting at a bar waiting to be chatted up by the NPA.
and she was saying that... maybe it's time for us to question the criminal justice system that we do use, because as it stands, the system is designed so that the victim has to prove 100%, you know, because as soon as you create reasonable doubt, that's enough for the accused to get off lighter. So she was saying maybe it's time to question whether the system that we do use is the most efficient, is the best system. And we know that it isn't, because on the other side of the coin, you have countless numbers of people who have been sent to prison incorrectly. And then it's discovered years later, oops, we sent the wrong guy.
Well, this is an important discussion.
Yeah. So she was saying maybe it's time for us to have that discussion. The current system is designed to favor the accused, because the victim has to be the one that proves 100%. No, you raped me. No, he killed me.
Well, in the case of this victim, she's clearly dead. So the evidence is already on her side.
So I thought that was an interesting side of the conversation.
That absolutely is. You know, in France, for example, there is an assumption of guilt. Mm-hmm. If you're arrested in France for a crime, they assume you're guilty. You have to prove you're innocent.
Oh, so they're the opposite to us.
Correct.
Oh, gosh. Okay.
And they have a judge who actually climbs in and gets involved in cases and can be very partisan. It's called an accusatory rather than I can't remember the word for our system by comparison. But any lawyer is welcome to call in and correct where I've made a mistake here. It is interesting. Hey, listen. I mean... everyone's got an opinion on this thing, and you're entitled to it, and it is our justice system, and if we didn't have opinions on it, then we would be surprised by everything. I don't think this is surprising. I think a lot of people thought this is exactly what was going to happen. It's unwound the way it has. I was kind of surprised that 6 years was all he got.
As opposed to what? Again, this is what we were talking about yesterday. Well, no matter what the years that was handed down yesterday, you were going to have some people who were not happy with it.
Yeah.
He could have been given 12 years and some people would not have been happy.
Mm.
I still think 23 was fair.
You see?
Then you should be in France. All right. Listen, a couple of things we're going to do today. Justice Malala is coming in at 7. The Burning Platform, brought to you by Nando's. Anthea Gardner will give us the markets at 6:45. Lots of interesting feedback yesterday from people who want to join a Cliff Central portfolio and trade with Anthea, where she would... you know, she'd mastermind the thing, and you would be able to choose what shares you're most interested in and tick the ones you don't and do want in your basket. But we'll figure that out. We're actually talking to someone at the moment.
Anthea also won't flee to Panama with your money.
Yeah, oh, correct.
Goodness. I'm pretty sure that's not going
to
happen.
Yeah, there's a level of trust there that needs to exist.
Flex told me that she gets up at 5. What time is she in the pool every morning?
So she gets up around about 4:20, and she is swimming by 5:15.
Sure. How's that, huh?
I don't know where she finds the energy, and then she just like hustles through the day.
Yeah, that's incredible. All right, Greg says, sounds like Mabali is chilling with Harry Nell on the regular. Is that true?
No, not. It's not quite like that. No.
Then Justin says, everyone must take a chill pill regarding Oscar. enough now. Let it be. Oscar is doing time. Judge Masipa was very clear. There's no proof that they'd argued, and more. There wasn't clear proof. Don't make it a racial thing. Now we as South Africans are our own worst enemies. And Jonathan Witt could not help chiming in. I'm always happy to hear his opinion, though. Do you want to hear it?
Do we?
From the Renegade Report, Jonathan Witt, the kind of person who can kill someone and then lie about the circumstances around that murder is not the type of individual who cares about what others think about him. You can rationalize that way, Gareth, because you aren't a psychopath. Masipa clearly incompetent and, in my opinion, influenced by her social work background, which inclines her to assuming that all people are good. No, they are not. Funnily enough, I think Mabale will agree with you on this one.
That people are not... That last part, yeah?
And the rest?
Gosh. I mean, I don't know... I don't know that Judge Masipa is incompetent. I don't know that. How would I know? I'm not a judge. I don't understand her line of work. I don't understand what it entails. Mm-hmm. I know that a lot of us have opinions about it, but we don't know what it entails being a judge. Could you sit in her chair and, you know, oversee that entire trial? Could you do it? Could you?
No, hell. That's why I'm saying.
Yeah. So I don't know. I don't want to attack Judge Masipa. I'm not qualified to attack her. Another judge, yes, absolutely, go for it. But me, staying out of that.
Okay. Sensible, thoughtful words. Let us know what you think. I mean, this is why we're here. We're not here to talk. We're here to listen, just like you are. So you can call us on 0861-555-189. You can also Skype us, Cliff Central, one word, and we'll get you on. Talk to you about what's happening. And we're also going to speak to Richard Poplack later on. You know, Richard Poplack writes such incredible stuff. And this is one of his new pieces on the Daily Maverick, which I would urge you to read. It's probably one of the best if you want to read a funny, ironic, sarcastic take on what's going on at the SABC with Hlaudi Motsoeneng. A lot of people are talking about this at the moment. It's a concern for us because it's our asset. It's not the ANC does not own the SABC. It belongs to you and me. And it's being horribly mismanaged. And we don't know whether to be serious or whether to laugh at this because it's such a laughable situation. But at the same time, for people who do not have any alternatives and the SABC is the only place they can get information, they are being hoodwinked by a watered down poor man's version of Stalin with bloody eyes and no brains in his head. And it's quite disturbing that someone so cuck could be raised to such levels of importance in society. It's bad for all of us, please believe me. All of us, even for the president, what's going on there. I think he's shooting himself in the foot. These are the signs of an administration in decline. These are the last gasps, the final desperate attempts by a man who has run out of ammo. And there are only a few things left open to the president. Chief among them is to fall on his own sword. Because steadily, he is not just costing the ANC and the country, but he is costing his own legacy, which already, by the way, is so pockmarked with ugliness. And with him, he will take down the entire apparatus of corruption, because once he falls, the rest of the House of Cards tumbles. I mean, that's where the title of that great show, House of Cards, comes from. And ultimately, a House of Cards cannot stand in even the most gentle of winds. So, there's a lot to talk to Justice about. There's a lot to talk to Richard Poplack about. Dr. D coming in to talk Oscar. And your calls, your thoughts, your messages, whatever's on your mind, 0861-555-189. Let us know what you're up to this morning. And it is Puza Thursday, so don't stress. Don't get yourself get your titties into a tangle this morning. We got a lot to get to. So, welcome to this little episode this morning. I hope that you're off to a good start for the beginning of your Thursday morning. It is a chilly week, and there are lots of people complaining about how cold it is, but we don't want to talk weather, because if we talk weather, we're boring. That's the definition. So we'll get into sport with Ben Karpinski. That's actually what we've got right now.
Yay.
Yay. Well, that was a very muted response, even from you. You know, it's your. This is your part of the thing?
Yeah.
The whole show? Yeah. That's better.
Nice. Yeah. So, 29 days until the Olympics starts, and I've got a new theory about golfers, right? Uh-oh. So, okay. You know, they're dropping off one by one.
Yes.
And we've all said various things about this.
Yes.
But what if it be true, and I have on sort of good resources that this is true, the golfers just don't want to be drug tested like other athletes. So if you're a golfer, right, you just take a little piss test, easy as that. And then because they just don't want you smoking dope because then you're too relaxed and you got to calm your nerves, whatever. Because golf isn't really a sport where you can inject yourself full of stuff and then suddenly because you've got more EPO, you can now get more birdies. It's bollocks. It's really not going to work. So you're not going to have performance enhancing drugs, but you'll have performance altering.
Huh.
So if you really got the shakes, you got the heebie-jeebies in the first tee and you smoke a spliff, obviously, that's going to help your performance, okay?
Really? I didn't realize golf is one of the sports that could be aided and abetted by a nice drag on a joint.
Yeah. Huh. Well, that's one of the sports because you need to be calm. You need to be relaxed and, you know, chilled. So anyway.
Relax with?
Flax.
Right.
So if you think of it this way, right? Now, they're used to just having a urine test, but now, because it's the Olympics, you fall into the hands of WADA. Now, a while ago, Dick Pound says that...
Sorry. Love that guy.
Guys, you got to take my sports seriously. I take everything
else. That is his name, Ben.
I know. Don't laugh. It's his name. Dick Pound.
Right.
Dick Pound said there was a bit of a golf problem a while ago as far as drugs and testing and everything is just so buddy-buddy and there's nothing really happening.
Bullshit!
And Mr. Gary Player even said that there's performance-enhancing drugs in golf. But then again, he does talk a lot of shit, so we can't take him too seriously. But if you look at it this way, right, you go to the Olympics and suddenly these golfers are pampered anyway. You go to the Olympics and suddenly there's someone following you around and they want to test you every day. Or there's random tests. So you got to let them know wherever you are. If you're a golfer, you're in Rio, you got a couple of days to kill. You want to go on a yacht. You want to, I don't know, go meet Venezuelan prostitutes or something. You want to do whatever you want. Whereas now it would be like, okay, where are you going to be here? Where are you going to be here? Where are you going to be here? And they're going to go, you know what? I don't need this. I really don't need this. So drug testing, and I don't think it's because they'll be found guilty of anything, but the rigmarole of drug testing, I think, has been a massive thing to push away the golfers. Nobody will admit it. They're all claiming Zika. But it is. There's so many things against why golfers would ever want to go to Rio right now. And this whole drug testing thing, I think we need to look into. Again, not because they would be found guilty. It's because they couldn't be bothered with the laborious process and invasive process that is to be tested.
Okay.
So that's your...
That's an interesting theory, Ben.
That's your day 29 to the Olympics positive feature, which wasn't really positive, but it was a feature all the same. Right, on the football. Now, yesterday, of course, Oscar Pistorius got 6 years in jail. Lionel Messi was sentenced to 21 months in prison. But because of Spanish law, anything under 2 years is a suspended sentence. And we all knew this was going to happen. But, you know, obviously clickbait all over social media.
Yeah,
about
I saw
Messi
that
going
yesterday.
To
I thought, no, this is not possible because you explained it to me. So what does that mean, though? Does that mean he has to stay at home?
Nah, Gareth, he's going to appeal it. Secondly, he's got all the money in the world. And thirdly, Barcelona, the football club, kind of owns most of Spain. So this is all just headlines for journalists, really.
Shame.
So what he's going to have to do is, he's basically going to have to pay, I think, 3.6 or towards, let's call it 4 million euros. Because that's what he's been fined for having these sort of tax haven companies in Uruguay and wherever else, which isn't actually really tax haven. It's just him cheating. So he just said he knew nothing. His dad, he thought, oh, how hard could it be? I can look after my son's funds. And he did a terrible job at that. So he has to pay a fine.
His previous job was probably raising goats.
Yeah, probably. So now he has to pay a fine. Lionel Messi has to pay a fine, of which no doubt all the money will come from Lionel Messi. So it'll be around 4 million euros and business as usual. But he'll obviously want to try to clear his name. So that's why he's appealing this thing. So if he can get it down to a minor misdemeanor, because if you're serving a suspended sentence, right? And now you get caught drunk and driving or you get caught with hookers in the boot. These kind of things don't look so good because he's a first time offender and it's a non-violent crime. That's why he's not going to prison.
Right.
But if something were to happen, I mean, I'm not attempting fate here, but if something were to happen to Messi and he's got this 21-month suspended sentence on his head, suddenly you never know.
He actually, the greatest footballer in the world could end up behind bars.
How dare you! How dare you!
Yeah, potentially. Right. but the real football last night was Portugal versus Wales.
Now, yes,
we said
I watched
this one
it.
Was going to be quite tight, and well, after 44 minutes, it really was tight. Ronaldo then rose above the defense and headed the ball into the back of the net. 1-0. And Wales,
beautiful.
You could just see Wales that were slumping down. And then it became 2-0. Cristiano Ronaldo again with the hand in the second goal, and that was it. Wales were just missing Ramsey. There's no doubt about it. Ramsey was such a catalyst in this tournament for providing great go-forward ball. Bale just tried to do too much with the little that he had. And unfortunately, in the end, it was Portugal 2, Wales 0. Ronaldo, all the headlines. Bale, nothing but a top knot.
Did Ramsey have a stomach situation like Flex did? Why wasn't he there?
No, I'm not entirely sure. Yeah. I think it was a peroxide hair injury. He got somebody's eye and he just couldn't carry on. So tonight, we've got Germany versus France.
There's a great meme going around of a woman who... She's playing some kind of sport and she gets hurt really badly and she kind of keeps fighting and she's covered in blood and stuff. I think it's boxing or, you know, WF, whatever they call that stuff.
Just a day in America.
Right. Or it could just be some hick in the trailer park. And then they show, like, the next scene is Cristiano Ronaldo rolling in the ground after someone, like, touches him with their pinky or something.
Yeah, I get a lot of that. So tonight, Germany versus France, 9 p.m. SA time kickoff there. Now, France, they've got this real home ground advantage. If you think, when they hosted the European Championships back, or the Euros back in the 80s, they won. When they hosted the World Cup in 98, they won. So, 2016, here they are in the semifinals. They've just won 5-2 against Iceland in the quarters. They're playing against an injury-hit Germany. Not at their best, but Germany, well, they're still a bloody strong side. So look at the key stats here, okay? Germany, 91% pass completion. These guys know what they're doing. Possession, they've managed to hold onto the ball for 63% of their matches. Shots, 91. On target, 31. Goals, 4, 7 goals. Goals against, just the 1. And that was a penalty in the quarterfinals against Italy. France, on the other hand, will have 88% pass completion. Possession of 56%. Shots, 87. Shots on target, 29. Goals, 4, 11. Goals against, 4. So Germany are slightly ahead if you look at those kind of basic stats. But you got to think, the momentum from the quarterfinal and the fact that they are very much full strength, the fact that their players like Griezmann's going well, you got that, crap, I forgot his name now. That dude, and then there's Pogba, who's actually maybe delivering on hype as well.
Dude.
So
no,
you got to... I can't do it all, okay? Jeez.
Really, Ben?
You know what? I'm probably going to say his name, but it turns out he'll probably be a tennis player, which I've been butchering all week anyway. So I'm going to think that France is going to make this one happen. Germany are a bloody strong side. They are World Cup champions. They are pretty much the best team in the world. But they're lacking up front, I reckon. And you can only do so much with Ozil's abilities. And when it comes to penalties, well, they were dog shit against Italy. So I'm going to go with France here. France versus Portugal final, I reckon, and France are going to take it. Portugal aren't terrible, but they're not exactly going to beat France, I reckon, right now. That is your Euro look. On to Super Rugby. It is the second last round of Super Rugby. The Lions pretty much, they've got top point scorers, top try scorers, and they're top of everything right now. The best team, the Lions. So the Lions carry on. They just win the last two. They got the Kings at home, and they got the Jaguars away.
Jaguars.
They can get away from that with, let's just say, 8 points. Then it's a very good chance that they'll top the log and they'll get a home quarters against the worst team of the qualifiers, which would be kind of cool because it could just be that they'll play the Sharks, which will be pretty much a walkover. And then there'll be a home semi, Gareth, for the Lions in Super Rugby. Who
That's impressive.
Would have thought it after all their trials and tribulations? No. Anyway, let's not tempt fate. Let's look at this weekend's fixtures before we get into this a little bit too much. We've got Brumbies taking on away to the Blues, okay? So the Blues are hosting the Brumbies 9:35. Reds versus the Chiefs 11:45, and Lions versus the Kings at 7. Now the Kings basically just want the season to end because, well, they're going to get a thrashing here against the Lions. Saturday, Crusaders versus Rebels 9:35. Waratahs versus the Hurricanes 11:45. Force versus the Stormers at 1:55. Now the Stormers, by winning and getting a big bonus point last week, they kind of guarantee qualification now, all because the Bulls, they got hammered by the Jaguars. The Bulls now take on the Sunwolves at home, so they should win that one. So basically the Stormers, they need to lose both their matches going through for the Bulls to actually win and get into the quarterfinals. Highly, highly doubted. Bulls are back to a pretty strong side. Adrian Strauss returns, and Jesse Creel gets a go at fullback, which I think is a huge move for SA Rugby. I think you got to play this guy as an out-and-out fullback. and let his talent shine through. He's a great player. I think he's wasted in the centres, so this is a good move. Well done, Nolis. He's the coach of the Bulls. Sharks versus the Cheetahs. That's at 7:15. And then the Jaguars, they'll take on the Highlanders at 9:40. Highlanders are in the mix for finishing top of the New Zealand pool, but they've got a tough run in because they've got the Jaguars away this week, and then they take on the Chiefs next week. Tough. So that's Super Rugby. On to cricket. Titans coach Rob Walters. Okay, now this guy might have been an outside chance as a next Proteas coach, but he said, bollocks to that, I'm going to go to New Zealand. Tough choice, admirable choice, because Otago is not the greatest place in the world. But there he is, head coach of Otago now. I kind of think that he knows that he won't be the Proteas coach, that he maybe is holding out for that. He was the Proteas high performance coach at one stage. He's done absolute wonders at the Titans. And he probably just thought, you know what, this is the end of the road, as Boyz II Men said. And he's off to New Zealand, where he'll no doubt pick up a couple of years experience, maybe get a county job in England after that, maybe an IPL job. That's it. But I think his South African career is now done. Which does mean that Jeffrey Toyona is more and more of a favorite to take over from Russell Domingo. Well, that's if Russell Domingo ever does leave. Now, the horrible thing here is that Domingo's crap. We all know that, right?
Mm-hmm.
But we're a year away from the Champions Trophy, which is a big ODI tournament. That's the best 8 teams in the world playing essentially a strength versus strength World Cup. So the big conundrum here, the big dilemma is, you either get rid of Domingo right now, as of today, cheers Russell, don't let the door hit your ass on the way out, or you keep him on for another year. But now that another year, we're playing Sri Lanka at home, okay? That should be a doddle for us. We then go to New Zealand away. New Zealand have lost all the major senior players, should also be a win. So it's either the best time to blood a new coach because the opposition are not going to be too hectic, or it's the worst time for Domingo to get some hollow victories and then it'll be like, okay, well, let's keep him on for another 3 years. So the rot, I think it needs to be stopped right now. Domingo, show him what he's got. He doesn't have great cards. If anything, he's even a good bluffer on bad cards. So he's just, yes, I just want him to go. It's not us, it's him. I just think he must go.
Russell, take a leaf out of all these British people who are resigning.
Exactly.
Boris and
Chris Evans
and
David Cameron.
All of them. Just get out of there.
Roy Hodgson.
Right.
So I would like to see, I know Jeffrey Toyona might not have just the experience at the moment. He might need a couple more years. You know, he might need an assistant coach role with the Proteas. These are all great things in the best world scenario because that's what we look at. We go, oh, well, this is ideally suited, but we're not in a position, we haven't got the luxury where we can kind of groom these guys the way we want to. So it's going to be tough, but I think we've got to show faith in the new era. Russell Domingo is old as dog balls, and I don't think he's going to do anything else to this team other than push it further into
the
quagmire of bad results.
Dog balls.
Yeah, he is. You're like those old Labradors you see on the beach. The balls are just dribbling around in the sand. And it's Russell Domingo. Tennis news. What a day yesterday was for tennis. Huh?
Sure.
By the way, that French person who I couldn't get is Payet.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So Payet, Griezmann, Pogba, France, go forward. My dad corrected me on that one. Right, so tennis. Okay, yesterday. Big day for tennis.
Mm-hmm.
The matches that you didn't really care about. Well, Rainick beat Query. Okay, so yeah, that was a North American battle. 4 sets there. And then Berdych, well, he just breezed past Puyol. Mm-hmm. But the big ones we wanted to watch were Federer versus Cilic. And Tsonga versus Murray. Well, the first one, Federer was 2 sets down.
Sure.
Oh, was it going to be a huge tragedy? The crowd did not want this one bit. Their darling Roger Federer was on the ropes.
Yes.
But like a true champion, he came back with some really good serves. It was a fantastic match because when you think about this Cilic guy, right? Big booming server, huge man, lots of power. He had a walkover against Kaneda Shikori because he pulled out. So he was full of beans and he was just firing all cylinders. Federer, you know, this isn't his first rodeo. He knows how to kind of grind a match out. So it was a clever play from him, precision. It was just beautiful to watch as like a contrast of Cilic's power game. Got to 5 sets, Gareth. In the 4th set, Roger showed such amazing balls. I mean, I'm talking Stan's dad in South Park and that one episode of the marijuana kind of balls. He was
not
just so good.
Balls.
No, yeah. These were good.
Got a lot of balls in the sport,
big
appropriately.
Balls. Yeah, yeah, big balls. So, you know, Roger was banging 110 mile an hour second serves, you know, at like key stages in that 4th set where he could have lost the game on it, but he took risks and he got himself into that 5th set and then the composure just pulled him through. So Roger is through. He's into the semis, which does mean that he is now one match away from extending his own record. Would you know what that record might be, Mubs?
300 and something.
That's a movie, but no, it's if you can get one more, if you can win against Raonic, right, it'll be 28 career Grand Slam finals.
Oh, okay, you too.
What
okay.
an amazing record that is. He's already way ahead. He's had 27 finals, right? That just shows what an incredible player this guy is. I know he wears like an Alice band and people don't maybe give him the credit that other players get. But Roger Federer has been in 27 Grand Slam finals, of which he has won more than anyone else. He's won 16, 17, I think it is.
17, yeah? 18.
Around there. So if he wins in the semi, he'll get the 28th Grand Slam final. To put that in perspective, other people, Lefdan Medel has got to 20 finals. Novak Djokovic got to 20 finals. Ivan Lendl bored his way into 19. Sampras with 18 and Bjorn Borg with 16. Hmm. So it just shows how amazing this guy is. And the fact that we can still see him firing. I mean, he's old, as I've said. He's my age. But he's still firing and in he goes. And if he can make this final, well, it'll be brilliant. Who is he going to play in this final? Well, Andy Murray had Songa on the ropes, and then Songa fought back, and he also got a fifth set, but then he absolutely fell away, and Murray blasted through him. Murray, of course, he just doesn't make himself very... It's just hard to like this dude. It really is. His press conferences, he just slumps, and he mumbles, and he just... Blah, 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 blah.
Right.
So everybody wants him to lose. Anyway, he'll now take on Berdych, who cruised past Puyol, and Federer Raonic. But into the semis, the women's finals, right? Sorry, women's semifinals. So excited there. Angelique Kerber, she'll take on Venus Williams, and Serena Williams will take on Elena Vesnina. Now, we all know who the Williams sisters are, right?
Yes.
What of this Angelique Kerber? Well, she's German. She's approximately 1.73 meters in height, and she weighs around 68 kilograms in summer. That is Angelique Kerber. And the other one,
Those are vital statistics.
Elena Vesnina. Well, she's Ukrainian. She got married recently. She posed in Russian Playboy. She's very attractive. She seems quite fun, outgoing, and she has a Labrador. So those are your women's semifinals. They'll be taking place today. And then we'll head into the weekend. That is pretty much it for the sport. The Tour de France is still going on. Great guns. No major fallouts there, I don't think. Scottish Open starts today. Huge, massive, incredibly large tournament played at Castle Stewart, which is beautiful. It's like if Game of Thrones had a golf course and like one of the kings owned it. It was like this. It's just stunning. So watch that. It's amazing. And then look out for the Euros tonight. Germany versus France. To whoever wants to have the right to play Portugal. And ultimately, I think whoever wins this match tonight will be the Euro champions. Easy as that.
Wow. You think they'll beat Portugal no matter who it is?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
All right. Thank you, Ben. Very good. Let me remind you that we are proud here at cliffcentral.com to be the digital media partner for the CEO Sympathy Sleepout 2016. Now, last year, the CEO Sleepout became the single biggest charity fundraiser in South African history. Did you know that? And it is going to be even bigger this year. We want you to play your part, and we'll play ours in making it bigger and better in 2016. We invite you to join us in staging a massive sympathy sleepout. Now, what this is a kind of an act of solidarity between us in our companies, small, medium enterprises all over the country, even big ones, and the homeless people who have to do this every night, sleep out in the streets. So we'll be hosting a little sympathy sleep out here at our offices, and we invite you to do the same. All you have to do is pay the $800. That's the registration fee. It makes you an official partner, and you and your team can be part of something really powerful, moving, and uplifting. Even if your company only employs 2-3 people, do it. You'd be surprised at what kind of a camaraderie it can create. You'd be surprised at how much of a difference your registration as part of this will make, and the charity that you choose to support with non-monetary means, how much they'll benefit from it too. It really is a very good idea. And you know what? We need some good news stories. We need some people banding together to do nice altruistic things right now. There are so many stories in the news about greedy people who only care about themselves. Here's a chance for us to show that actually, if you're a little more generous with your time and your money and your energy, you're the better person. I don't think I need to paint it much simpler than that. As a participant of the Sympathy Sleepout, you commit to contributing to change with non-monetary items for the charity you choose to nominate. Visit theceosleepoutza.co.za. That's theceosleepoutza.co.za. Click on the Sympathy Sleepout tab And you can also go to cliffcentral.com to get all the details on how to register. That's cliffcentral.com. Let's get into the money with Anthea Gardner. Are you ready?
She works hard for the money. So hard for the money. She works hard for the money. So you better treat her right.
Okay, I better get her on Skype here, right?
She works hard for the money.
That was perfect timing.
So hard for the money.
The way Skype went.
She works hard for the money. Right. So you better treat her right.
In the song. Alright, let me get hold of Anthea.
All out of there, in a corner stand, that you wanna wear.
How do I do this again?
And it's strange to her, some people seem to have everything.
There we go. Ba-da-da-da.
9 a.m. on the Oregon, she's waiting for the bell.
Hello, Anthea.
Hello, Gareth. Morning.
How are you?
Good, thanks. And you?
Excellent. Flax has got some problems with his computer on that side, so I thought I'd just call you from mine.
Sure, no problem.
What's happening?
Yeah, not good, Gareth. Yesterday, it was everything about the stock market that I hate. In fact, the last 2 weeks have been exactly that. Inexplicable, exaggerated moves. I mean, both to the up and the downside, but yesterday was definitely to the downside. The all-share index was down 1.7%. The currency was weaker to the dollar. We're still quite strong against the pound. We're about 19.12 against the pound, but 14.71 against the dollar. Financials and industrial shares just got hammered. So I guess it really just confirms what I said the other day, that the only thing I'm 100% certain about right now is the volatility. And even though yesterday felt a bit like 2008 for me, it's not. I think it's worth remembering kind of, you know, what happened during that period. So in 2008, between May and October, our market fell over 40%.
Yep.
It took 2.5 years for the market to return to pre-GFC levels. But trough to peak, so from bottom to top, our market is up 200%. Now, everybody's going, well, should I be selling? What should I do? Should I be in cash? I think if you can tell me the timing of the inevitable bounce, I'll tell you whether or not to sell or hold on. Like, nobody knows kind of what's going to happen. It's just going to be volatile. There'll be some rough days like yesterday. I think so. My only kind of one piece of advice, if you're close to retirement, so if you're kind of 2 or 3 years away from retirement, you don't really have time to ride through this volatility. I would suggest putting your money into some sort of capital preservation fund, like a money market fund, where you get about, in South Africa, 7.5%, which is not a bad yield. What I'm more inclined to do with my own money at this stage is just to ride this wave, make sure I've got some powder dry when things do settle down.
Okay.
You know, at the end of it, there'll be some solid companies that have been oversold by investors who did run for the hills. And then that'll be our chance to comfortably get back into the market. There's no doubt at this stage that, excuse me, there is a lot of money moving out of the equities market into treasuries. So, in fact, yesterday we saw the Japanese 20-year bond yield go negative. So we've seen this before on the 10-year maturity. And just to draw an analogy, what this means, can you imagine if you had cash? So let's say you had 1,000 rand. You put it in the bank, and every month the bank was charging you to leave. Instead of paying you interest, you were having to pay them interest for leaving your money in the bank.
No, that would not work.
Yeah. So one of my analysts yesterday said, who does something crazy like that? But really, it's all about capital preservation. You know, you'd rather lose 0.1% paying somebody interest on the money they've borrowed from you.
Yeah.
Than losing 5 or 10% in the equity market. And that's kind of what's happening in the world at the moment, you know?
Is there any way to not lose at all if you have money and you want to just keep it exactly as it is? I mean, aside from actually having the cash.
Yeah, so the money market account I was telling you about, those are capital preservation funds. So yes, you can be set in this money market account. And there's definitely an argument for if you don't like the volatility.
Okay.
But the equity markets are exactly that. They are volatile, but as I said to you, in the end, you're not trying to time the market, right? Because you don't know what the timing, you don't know when it's going to bounce. And would you don't really want to miss out on the bounce either.
No.
Exactly. So it all felt very terrible yesterday, even across the Atlantic. The U.S. market started negative, but then kind of mid-morning, their Statistical Bureau released data that showed that the services sector actually grew faster than they were expecting. So U.S. indices closed positive. So we spent the entire day yesterday going, oh, it looks like the world's coming to an end. And then the U.S. closed positive. I guess kind of what we must do is just expect a lot of volatility.
Okay.
So Asian markets are a bit mixed this morning. Mostly they're positive. Japan's negative. I'm hoping for a positive day. I don't think it's going to be hugely bullish. I just think we'll kind of eke out a nice little green day.
All right. Well, let's hope so. It would be nice to just see a little more green than red. The other day we had, the last week or two, we've had some very, very interesting green. And then suddenly we went back into red, which felt like familiar territory for all the wrong reasons.
Exactly. The last 2 days have just actually been awful.
Yeah. All right. Okay. Is there anything else?
No. I've been thinking about this portfolio you spoke about yesterday.
Yes. I dropped a fast one there. I'm sorry. And we've got so many people who are interested that I got so many emails. I got lots of messages to screen. I got plenty of interaction on that. So I think a lot of people would be interested in investing in this. And who knows, you know, if we could get the amount right in terms of how much or how little people can put in, I think we could find quite a few people who'd want to do it.
Sure. I did some numbers a while ago. And so, you know, there's always kind of a fixed cost for trading. And at some stage, you kind of go into break even where it becomes a variable. And the higher the number, the lower the percentage you're paying. So imagine if you were investing in 100 Rand and the fixed cost, the minimum to trade was 10 Rand.
Yeah.
You'd be paying 10%. Just in charges. If you were investing 1,000 Rand, the minimum was 10 Rand, it would be 1% of your portfolio.
Correct.
So I think what we need to do is find a solution where we can minimize that cost. Mm-hmm. And also efficiency of data. I felt so bad yesterday when I realized you hadn't sold your Investix, by the way.
Mm-hmm. Thanks. No. I'm so glad that you feel bad. I feel bad too. It's down another 2.98% on yesterday.
Well, exactly. Right? So it's down almost 20% when I sold, and which means you've been sitting on it. I really am sorry about that.
Yeah, thanks.
Oh, no, really, I am. Okay, I think that's my cue to go.
Not half as sorry as me. All right, but you mentioned something else to me a while ago, and I've remembered this, that apparently women who are asset managers have done better than men.
Yes. So there's research, academic research, I know, on average, women outperform men. And so the point is there are very few female asset managers, though. Like, you know, in this country, female asset managers who actually own their own businesses and run their own portfolios, there's like five of us. So to find one, I think, is something special.
Anthea, we don't believe your research. It must have been conducted by an emotional feminist.
Bali Palloy, you didn't just. Wow. No more watching Oscar trials for her.
No.
I'll send it to you, my Bali. I'll send you the hard academic research.
That's great news, Anthea. That's great.
All right. Lots of people keen to get involved, though. So we'll let you know, but it's underway as we speak. We will be we'll be announcing as soon as we're ready to let you know exactly how you can get involved. And you can determine the amount. But as Anthea said, as a percentage of your entire investment, you want to get those costs as low as possible. That's right, huh?
Absolutely, yes. Okay. That's kind of what we want to do. And we want to make it efficient, you know. Mm-hmm. So when I trade in my portfolio and you happen not to listen the next morning, if you miss it, you know, we need you to know kind of where it's at and how we're going to do it. So, you're not sitting on Investix or missing out on Sun Internationals, that sort of thing.
Yeah, like I've done in the last 2 or 3 weeks. All right. Thank you. Enough punishment for me for one day. All right, Anthea.
Cheers.
We'll speak to you tomorrow. Thanks. Cool. There's Anthea Gardner. Justice Malala coming up with the burning platform next.
Yeah. You used to call me on my... CliffCentral.com